Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. We apologize for being off the air last week. We took a vacation for the birthday of America like so many of you did. We are back on the air this week and we're excited about that. Equally excited to welcome in my special co-host who's been a regular on the show and we want to thank him for that. Garrett Thornton of Oregon Sports News is a senior writer. Covers a wide variety of topics, but definitely our resident expert on the Mariners and the Blazers. So, Garrett, thank you so much for being here tonight. How's it going in your world?
It's going great, Casey. How have you been?
I've been doing really well. I'm enjoying the start of summer. You know, we survived the first heat wave, and now we're kind of in the 80s, which is perfect for me. So I'm really hoping that we get some more of that weather. And, you know, I'm excited to get on a boat soon. I haven't done that yet this year. Been to Hood River, been camping, been doing a lot of things, but haven't really been on the water yet. So hoping to do that pretty soon. How about you? How's your summer going?
It's been good. It's been really busy. I've been on the water the last couple days, so that's been nice. And it's just, this is why we live in the Northwest this time of year. This is when I tell people from other parts of the country, if you're going to come to Portland, come July and August, because for the most part, you're getting out of nasty weather somewhere else and come into paradise. I mean, this is, it's green, it's beautiful, but it's still 80 degrees. This is the time of year that everyone wants to be in Portland. And unfortunately, everybody comes to Portland, and that's why the freeways are a mess. So, but it's beautiful. It's been great this summer. I'm looking forward to the next couple months of great weather. And then we get right back into some rain and stuff, but that's when the Blazers come back too, so that'll be good.
Blazers come back, NFL football is back, college football is back. They give you some stuff to watch while you're stuck indoors.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, speaking of the Blazers, let's dive into our first topic of tonight's episode, and that is the Blazers and their offseason grade. What have you liked that they've done? Is there any moves that they haven't made you wish you would have seen? And are there any moves you think are still on the horizon that might be like a last ditch to save the offseason if you think that's even necessary?
Well, I mean, when I look at the Blazers offseason, I take a different approach to it than a lot of people because, in my opinion, I start back at the trade deadline when the Blazers got Yusuf Nurkic. And that was the big move. That was the move moving forward that has this team sitting in a position where they can have any hope. Without that move, it's pretty bleak right now because the Blazers probably would have extended Mason Plumlee and gone farther into the luxury tax territory, and they probably would have missed the playoffs, and we're looking at this expensive team that wasn't in the playoffs and might not be in the playoffs this coming year, and it's a mess. And so if you look all the way back to February, they got Yusuf Nurkic. We move into the offseason. They draft Zach Collins and Caleb Swanigan, two guys that have a ton of upside that both could find a place at that starting four sometime in the next couple of years for the Blazers. And I have a way more optimistic view on the offseason than a lot of people. I think that this has been a good offseason. I think that just getting Nurkic, Ed Davis, Al-Farouq Aminu, Evan Turner, getting those guys healthy from all their nicks and dings and broken hands and whatever all they had last year, I think that that's going to help this team a ton. And so moving into next year, no, there's not a flashy move this summer. There's not a sexy name that they brought in. They didn't trade for Paul George or Jimmy Butler or any of these big names that fans wanted them to. But this was a pretty dang good team in March. And if they can be that team in October, November, and moving into the season, the Blazers can do some good things this season.
They absolutely can. And I'm just curious how much of that we're going to see because we did have a really good March out of them, but we didn't get much else before Nurkic came around. And after he went down, they were really a shell of who they used to be. So I'm really curious what's going to happen when they finally get their whole complement of players back. And I do credit you that you've got a much more optimistic outlook than I do on them. But that's also because I've seen this team fall apart so many times during their year season and then climb out of it towards playoff time just to lose in the first or second round. So I'm not as high on the guys they have. I get it. It's a great core. But I need to see them prove it for a couple of seasons where I can see if they're really, because it's going to be tough to crack this Western Conference with all the star players have gotten it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And There's no denying that the West is as tough as it's ever been. The Blazers made the playoffs with a 500 record this last year. They were the eighth seed. If they have a season playing at the same level they did last year, they're likely to be 10th or 11th in the Western Conference. That's how good this Western Conference gotten. The Lakers have gotten better. The Kings have gotten better. These teams that were in the cellar are going to be better this year. And that's not even mentioning Minnesota, who's added a ton of star power. Not even mentioning Oklahoma City, who added Paul George, a top 10 player in the entire league. So this is a conference that's going to be very, very competitive, and it's going to be fun to watch this season. But I still think that this Blazer team is in better footing than they were last year. I'm with you. I want to see them play together. I want to see them stay healthy. But I just, there weren't many points last season when this entire team was healthy. True. Aminu got hurt early in the season. Then Lillard was hurt for a little while the second quarter of the season. Evan Turner broke his hand. Yusuf Nurkic got hurt. And so it was just one thing after another for this team. If they can stay somewhat healthy this year, I think that this is a team that can be in that 6-8 in the Western Conference range.
So you had mentioned that you wanted to see them sign some guys like CJ Miles and Thabo Sefolosha, and Miles is still available out there, but Sefolosha got snatched up by the Utah Jazz this week.
Well, CJ Miles, he was involved in a sign-and-trade, so right. He's headed to Toronto. And so, yeah, I mean, those were some guys that I thought that might fit this Blazer roster, but right now there's not a roster spot, and so to create a roster spot, they would have had to cut Pat Connaughton, who very likely could be cut because his contract isn't guaranteed and he hasn't played well in summer league.
And he's hurt now.
Yeah, now he's hurt. It's minor. It's not a big deal. And my guess is that decision of whether to cut Connaughton was made before summer league even started. So it's not blaming summer league, but I wouldn't be surprised if Connaughton is cut, because Neil Olshey said time and time again that he likes having an empty roster spot. He likes that flexibility that it affords. If a veteran will come in and play for the minimum or a couple $1 million, the Blazers could afford that, but you can't do that without a roster spot. So there were a few of those guys. Another one was David Lee, who's still a free agent. I thought it'd be good to bring a veteran in to mentor maybe Caleb Swanigan, Zach Collins, Myers Leonard, some of the younger big guys. But at this point, I don't expect much to happen with this team. There's the rumored three-team deal between New York, Houston, and Portland that would send Carmelo to Houston, a couple Blazers to New York, and Ryan Anderson from Houston to Portland. It's an interesting concept, but we'll see if it happens. I mean, the Blazers are already one of the highest payrolls in the league, and bringing back Ryan Anderson's $20 million a year isn't the best idea. But in a lot of the scenarios, I've seen them sending Myers Leonard and Maurice Harkless to get to New York, and then they return Ryan Anderson. So it would just be basically dollar for dollar. But you never know what's going to happen. That's what makes the NBA offseason so fun, is it's just so unpredictable. I don't expect anything to really happen. I think the team that you see now is probably the team that goes into training camp in September.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a team that's fun to watch. And even if they don't crack the top 10 in the Western Conference in year one with a fully healthy Nurkic, as well as a guy like Evan Turner and a guy like Avan Crabb, who are in a little more defined roles, as well as Alperovic Aminu, and now you add Zach Collins and you add Caleb Swanigan, you've got a pretty good core. I agree with you there. I want to see a fully healthy roster for three quarters of a year and see what they can do, because even if they can get into, let's say, playoff seeding this year, which is the top eight, I don't know if they're going to be good enough to do that. They still have to get even better than that if they want to make a crack at the top five and even get into like the Western Conference Finals, which they haven't been to in well over a decade. So we'll see what they can do. I agree with you. They've made some good moves, and Olshey's done what he can with being strapped for cash. I mean, he made the moves he made last year expecting the salary cap to be higher this year. It wasn't, and now here we stand, and we're dealing with a little bit of debt. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It might have restrained him from signing a free agent that we might not have needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is a playoff team. Like I would bet a week's pay that this is a playoff team. I think that this is a team that will be in that 6-8 range in the Western Conference. You look at a team like Memphis, they've gotten worse. You look at a team like the Clippers, they've gotten worse. And so I think that there's some room in the Western Conference to still make the playoffs, even though the Blazers haven't made moves. Everybody looks at the Timberwolves and the Thunder and these other teams that have made all these moves. Well, let's focus on Dallas, Memphis, the Clippers. These teams have gotten worse this offseason. And so I think that the Blazers are still a playoff team, but I'm also with you that I kind of want to see it. And I think that's where the front office is. I think they want to see what this team can do leading up to the trade deadline. And if this team is 15-25 at the trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised if this team was blown up in some way.
All right, and we're coming up on, we're actually past the 10-minute mark, so let's look at our next segment, which is some way too early NBA predictions. Season just ended, for crying out loud. So you said you'd be willing to bet your week's pay or a month's pay. I can't remember what you just said. I apologize for that. Whatever you said you were going to wager, is that what you really want to put on paper? I mean, now you're a gambling man. You are the Garrett Thornton of Breaking Vegas, so...
I think the Blazers make the playoffs. I think they're, like I said, in that 6-8 seed in the West range.
All right. I'll look forward to talking about that as we get closer. I would really love to see them in that range. I'm not 100% sold that Nurkic can stay healthy. He had some injury woes in Denver. He's already had one flare up here in Portland. Part of that could have been not being in great shape when he arrived, and then really might have overdone it trying to work his way back. We know that he really wants to play, and we forget he's so young. He's only 22. We think of him as this man among boys, but he's really not. He's one of the youngest guys in the league. He's only 3 years removed from being in college age. So,
yeah.
So we'll see what he can do. And I would love to see a fully healthy Nurkic on the court. Would love to see what Collins can do. I think he's going to put some weight on if he's going to last in the NBA, but I really like his spark and his toughness, and he definitely has a high motor. It's not necessarily as high as Swanigan's motor. I mean, geez, that guy knows how to get around in the paint, but it'll be exciting to see what they can do. I don't know if they'll be competing for a title anytime soon, but they definitely will be fun to watch, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, the next 2 or 3 years, I don't know that there's another team in the league that's competing for a title outside of the Warriors and the Cavaliers that have LeBron. Like, if LeBron leaves Cleveland next summer, then the Cavaliers aren't in the discussion. But who's going to compete with the Warriors over the next couple years? I don't see another team in the league. I would not be surprised if the Warriors roll off 2 or 3 more championships in a row. That's how dominant that this team is. That's how hard it is for the rest of the league to get to that point. And so if you're Portland, why make sudden moves, trade off young guys, try and clear space to bring somebody in for a year or two just to get beat by the Warriors again this offseason? Why not build for 3, 5, 10 years down the road, like they did, bringing in Collins, bringing in a 22-year-old Nurkic? And so that the whole NBA is just in a tailspin trying to figure out how to build their teams to be competitive at some point, because they all see that the Warriors are going to be on their perch for the next couple years, and it's going to be really hard to knock them off.
Well, and we saw something similar when Boston created a super team in the mid to late 2000s, and then the Lakers did the same thing, and then Miami followed suit, and then New York, and then LA Clippers, and then the Heat broke up after the Mavericks and the Spurs. And I mean, we had a lot of super teams that kind of disappeared in the last few years, and now it's happening all over again. But teams like Minnesota that are really built for the long haul, and I would really love to see them in a Western Conference Finals with Golden State in the next year or two. That'd be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I would make the case that this Warriors team is a step above that Boston team or that Miami team any of those teams you named. This Warriors team is generationally special. Like, this team has legitimately 4 of the top 15 or 20 players in the league, and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are probably in the top 3 to 5 players in the league. And so this team is unbelievable. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And so the rest of the league's just trying to figure out, should we go after them or should we wait until they're broken up? And then that's our time to compete. And so I think that you're seeing all kinds of different strategies around the league. And it's kind of interesting this off season to see who's going after those rentals to make a run at it and who's going for young guys trying to build for the future.
Absolutely. Will be exciting. Can't wait to see what unfolds next year and the years to come. We're past the 15-minute mark, so you got to take our first break. So, Garrett, thanks for coming on, and we'll have you back after the break, but we got to break for a quick ad. Make sure you're checking out all that OregonSportsNews.com has to offer. There's not just commentary from local authors and sportscasters, but also a growing number of podcasts. One of my favorites is Your Favorite Fight, which is by Oregon Sports News senior writer David Golden. Your Favorite Fight is a bi-weekly combat sports podcast hosted by Oregon Sports News' David Golden. Your Favorite Fight asks the question, what is your favorite fight? David talks to professional fighters, coaches, jiu-jitsu players, and just about anyone else in the fight game to find out what their favorite fights are. If you're a fight nerd, MMA lover, or just love to support local athletes, this is the podcast for you. Check those out at www.OregonSportsNews.com. All right, welcome back into the next chapter of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. I want to welcome back in my fearless co-host, Garrett Thornton. We've already discussed a little Blazers off-season grades and what we want to see from them next year. Garrett very fearlessly bet his entire house, my house, your house, everybody's house, that they will make the playoffs next year, which I'm very excited to see. So now we're going to move on to some other way too early predictions, and we're going to talk about the NFL because, you know, Garrett, the NFL season is just around the corner. It may be July right now, but it's almost August, and right after that it's September, and that's football season. So what is the most excited – what are you most excited to get in football season this year?
I just love watching football. Like, I love knowing that Thursday night there's going to be a football game. Friday night, I can go down to a local high school game if I want to, or I can watch one of the lower conference games in college. Saturday, I can watch college football all day. Sunday, I can watch football all day. I just love the game of football. I love the competitiveness that comes with college football specifically. I love watching the best in the world play football on Sunday. I just, everything that comes along with the sport of football, I love. And I'm just, this is the last month without football.
Yep.
Next month is when it all starts, and I couldn't be more excited for the upcoming season.
All right, so let's start off with the NFC West. Let's make some way too early predictions. I mean, we're not even into training camp yet, but we're going to make some predictions right now off the cuff. There's nothing really to research because you don't really know who's got what and what they're going to do with it. So I'm going to give you my top four, and you tell me agree or disagree. So I'm predicting Seattle is going to take the NFC West this year. I think Arizona will bounce back and take the second spot and actually have a winning record this time. And then San Francisco will probably surprise some people with a 7-9 record, which is better than they've done in the last couple of years. And then you'll have the Los Angeles Rams. I think they'll finish with 5 or 6 wins. I don't know if they can do better than that. They've got so many new pieces, a new coaching staff, a lot of stuff to work with, but they also have a lot of flaws and a lot of newcomers, and they've got a quarterback that no one really knows what to say about. So I'm going to put them at the bottom of the barrel, but I think in the next couple of years they'll be a playoff team, but I'm not going to call them one this year. Same with San Francisco, but I'm going to put both Seattle and Arizona in the playoffs, and I'm giving Seattle the division crown. What do you think about that?
I agree with your order, but I'm not high on any of those teams.
Sure.
I think Seattle's the best team in the worst division in football. In any other division, Seattle is going to have to claw and scratch to get into the playoffs. You put them in the North, they're not better than Green Bay. Detroit is on the same level as Seattle. Like, you put them in the South, there's no way that Seahawks make the playoffs in the South. And in the East, I don't think they make the playoffs either. Arizona is a decent team. I think they're well coached. They have pieces, but I don't think that they're a 500 team this year. I don't think they make the playoffs. And then Los Angeles and San Francisco, I think they're lucky if they combine for 6 or 7 wins this year. And so I think your order is correct, but I would be surprised if 2 teams make the playoffs out of that division. And I'd be shocked if Arizona is above 500 and if San Francisco or Los Angeles get anywhere near the 5 or 6 win at territory.
Well, it's really kind of bizarre because 2 years ago, Seattle and Arizona were basically the class of the NFC. And now you look a year later and Seattle's reeling after 2 straight years of first round playoff exits. And Arizona almost won the NFC 2 years ago, had one of the best records in the league. And then last year, they couldn't even get a winning record together. And it wasn't really due to a mass of injuries or change of personnel or change of coaching staff. It was just out of nowhere, they just really couldn't get the job done the way they could the year before. And Carson Palmer definitely took a step back. David Johnson was more efficient than he's ever been, and that's only in 2 seasons. But you had Larry Fitzgerald, who definitely has lost a couple steps, and they really had nobody on the outside opposite him. And really the only injury they had was John Brown, kept having migraines or concussions. I can't remember what the issue was, but they say that he's better now. So maybe now that they have a full complement of receiving talent and David Johnson, and hopefully that offensive line can protect Palmer and he can throw to the right team more often than not, I think they could be okay. I don't know if they'll be great, but I could see them getting like 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah, the NFC is so tough this year. And the NFC West, I believe that they play the NFC South during the regular season. And so they have to go through that buzzsaw of Atlanta. And I'm not as high on him as you are, but I see the talent there on paper. I like David Johnson a lot. Obviously, he's one of the best running backs in the league. Larry Fitzgerald's a great guy, but like you said, he's lost a step. Carson Palmer's not the quarterback that he once was. He's not the Heisman Trophy winning arm that he once was. So I don't know. I'd be shocked if they made it to the 500 mark. I could be wrong, but I just think that the NFC is too tough for that team to make the playoffs.
Well, you're not going out on a limb there saying that, because they had a mediocre team 3 of the 4 years in the last 4 or 5 years. So they had the one good year in 2015, and we'll see if they can repeat it in 2017. But 2013, 2014, and 2016 were all disappointments, so we'll just have to see what happens this year. As far as the NFC goes, who is your team that you're calling the favorite in the conference? Is it Atlanta? Is it Dallas? Is it Green Bay? Is it some other dark horse? Who are you thinking is going to be the team to beat coming out of the gate?
I mean, I have a hard time going against who did it last year. And so, but the problem is I see some holes in Atlanta, and I see when a team makes it to the pinnacle, every other team spends a little bit extra time that summer trying to beat that team. And so you can't tell me that Dallas and Green Bay and Seattle, that those teams haven't spent a little extra time studying Atlanta tape, and they're going to be more ready this summer.
I certainly hope Green Bay has. They got pretty embarrassed in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, so I also think that NFC South, I think any 4 of those teams, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Carolina, I think any 4 of those teams could win that division. I think Atlanta's the best, but that division is brutal. I think the NFC East was the toughest division in the league last year. I think the NFC South is the toughest division this year. I think that division loaded up, and I think that's going to be a tough one to get out of. And so I'm not going to go with Atlanta. I think that it's a coin toss between Dallas and Green Bay. And I know that sounds like a homer since I'm a Dallas fan and you're a Green Bay fan.
I don't hate it.
What both of those teams did last year, not a whole lot has changed in their approach going into this year. with Dallas, the only question I have is what kind of sophomore slump do you get from Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott? When you listen to people talk about the Cowboys, people want to talk about the defense and the young secondary and who's going to rush the passer. I don't think those questions are nearly what people make them to be. I think the question is, can Dak Prescott duplicate what he did last year and maybe even get better upon last year? Can Ezekiel Elliott be the dominant running back that he was last year? If those two guys can continue their level of play, I think the Cowboys should be in the conversation for the best team in the NFC. And then Green Bay, outside of Tom Brady, they have the best quarterback in the last bunch of years. Aaron Rodgers is just on a different level from everyone else, and all of those weapons around him just make him that much better. So I would say it's between Dallas and Green Bay. I think Atlanta takes a small step backwards, and I still don't think Seattle's answered the questions that they need to on their offensive line. And so I think a Dallas-Green Bay NFC championship game is what I'm looking at.
I would tend to agree with you there. I do think Seattle will be better than people give them credit for. They always seem to pull a rabbit out of the hat. But I do think that Dallas and Green Bay will be the class of the NFC. I think Atlanta will take a step back, partially because of the Super Bowl hangover, because, A, they're going to have a new play caller. One of the reasons their offense was so amazing was Matt Ryan, but also the other part of that is Kyle Shanahan, who's now the head coach in San Francisco. Steve Sarkisian steps in as the play caller. I don't know if he's going to be the play caller that Kyle Shanahan was. We'll kind of have to see how that works. And then the defense is coming along with Dan Quinn running the show, and he definitely seemed to have the right tools at his disposal. But you come off that heartbreaking of a loss, and the history shows you that that team usually doesn't recover so well the following year. A lot of them don't even make the playoffs. So I don't expect great things out of Atlanta this year. And then Green Bay, they didn't really do anything great to get their defense back on track. Not that it's ever been amazing, but drafting Kevin King, I think, will help. Getting Josh Jones, who's a backup safety, will help. You've got Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton Dix, and you've got arguably a pretty good secondary. Not great, but pretty good. And then you've got Clay Matthews coming back. You've got a pretty good linebacking core, pretty good defensive line. And on offense, you've got now Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks, and then you've also got your full complement of receivers in Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb. You've got Ty Montgomery, who's going to spend full time at the running back now, and then, of course, Aaron Rodgers, who's the second best number 12 on the planet right now. But in Dallas, you know, your guys were so darn good at finishing drives with touchdowns and taking so much time off the clock that I do think you're accurate in that it doesn't really matter that their defensive line and their secondary aren't anything to write home about, because if your running game and you have a consistent passing game are really helping you win football games and you're taking a ton of time off the clock, which they're winning the time of possession battle all the time, that can really put pressure on the opponent to try to score quickly, and that ends up putting the ball in your hands more often than not, or at least turning it over or punting because they can't get in the end zone. I think that will work. And you've got Dak Prescott in year two and Ezekiel Elliott in year two. Elliott didn't look like he was slowing down in that playoff game. It looked like he wanted the ball 20 times more. And Prescott just looked like he was a little bit caught by the moment early on. And by the second half, he was throwing it all over the field, and he looked like a superstar out there. So if they can maybe trust him a little bit more to throw the ball now that they know he can handle it, I would love to see what that guy could do with 20, 30 throws a game.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that I try and get across to Cowboy fans, is that nothing has really changed in Dallas. Yeah, there's new names in the secondary. They added a first-round draft pick to the defensive line, but that offensive line is all there except Doug Free. There's still the insane amount of talent on the offensive line. Dak Prescott's going to be better. Ezekiel Elliott's going to be – like, they have a year in the league. They've got that year under their belt. I think that this team could be very, very good, and they are going to play the same exact way they did last year, except that playbook is open a little bit more right when your quarterback is in the second year in the league. So I think it's going to be fun to watch, and that's why I just can't wait for the beginning of September when it all gets going.
And I hope that I haven't looked at the schedule. I hope you and I have a showdown sometime in the regular season. I know we had one last year, but didn't quite live up to the hype because you guys won. That's why I didn't live up to the hype. But I would love to see, you know, seeing them at full strength in the conference champion, or not in the conference championship, in the divisional round was a lot of fun. But now that you've got a second year under Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, I think you're right. I don't know that if I'm a Cowboy fan, if I'm worried about what my team's going to do, if I'm the rest of the NFL, I'm going to worry that we've just seen the tip of the iceberg of what these two rookies can actually pull off. And this could be really dangerous for the rest of the league, because this could be we're just seeing what they can do, and they're going to explode in the next couple of years. And so Green Bay better get a Super Bowl the next year or two. Otherwise, it might be Dallas all the way like it was in the mid-90s.
Well, it looks like October 8th. Green Bay visits Dallas.
Can't wait.
So that'll
be
a good one.
We'll be talking that one up that whole week.
Maybe we'll do like a live show of just our reactions of
we should
just yelling and screaming the whole time.
That's all I do. I cry a little bit. It's a wonderful experience for everyone that's not me.
That show we might have to edit, get the bleep button out a little bit.
We'll hire an intern for that one week and they can be a producer and just get the bleep button going. We'll just have some Madden sound effects, and he or she can just play that a Madden sound every time. Or he can do like Sounds a Chris good. Berman whoop. Who knows? All right, so we're running short on time. We're actually over time, so we've got to speed this up. So we're going to go into the AFC. I would assume the Patriots are your team to beat, but I'm going to ask you who your team to beat is.
It's not even close. It's the Patriots.
Yeah.
They were the best team in the league last year, and they only had Tom Brady for 12 weeks in the regular season. They come into the offseason after winning a ring. They get even better by adding guys like Brandon Cooks and bringing back all their big free agents, and now they get Tom Brady for an entire season. This team is unbelievable. They're going to win 15, 16 games in the regular season, and Brady and Belichick live for the playoffs, and they're going to show up, and they'll be in the Super Bowl again. If any team can give them any kind of challenge, it's the Raiders, but I don't think it's this year. I think they're a year or two off from being that type of contender.
Right.
But the Patriots are to the Super Bowl what the Warriors are to the NBA. The Patriots are to the NFL what the Warriors are to the NBA. They're just a dominant team that gets better every single year, even though Tom Brady is going to – I think he's 36 going into this season.
I think he's almost 39.
He plays like he's 30 years old.
Yeah,
so he's going to play forever, I think, and this team is going to be dominant and competitive every single time that Brady's on the field. So I don't think that anyone in the AFC can compete with the Patriots this year.
Well, and they got Brandon Cooks, and they get Rob Gronkowski back healthy. You saw how diverse James White was. I would assume they're going to re-sign LeGarrette Blount at some point. But
I think he's in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Well, then probably not. That's probably not going to happen then. But you never know. Don't rule it out. You know, Belichick is nothing if not a deal maker. You know, he's not Trader Dan, but he's pretty close.
It was LeGarrette Blount. Didn't he force the Steelers to cut him so he can go sign back with the Patriots?
Yeah.
I think that was him. He was dogging it during games and practice and just pissed the Steelers off to the point where they cut him, and then he signed with the Patriots again the next week. Like, so I guess you're right. You can never rule it out when it comes to the Patriots.
And yeah, they lost Martellus Bennett, but they get Dwayne Allen. So that's not necessarily a fair trade, but you know, if you've got a healthy Gronkowski, you probably don't need another tight end. So we'll see what they do. I would love to see Dallas or Green Bay against New England and the Patriots. Obviously, being Green Bay homer, I would love to see Rodgers versus Brady in the Super Bowl. That'd be amazing. I would love to see that, but either one would be entertaining. I'll tune in. So speaking of fantasies, let's move gears to the fantasy football draft that we've all got coming up that we need to be studying for. Who are you hoping to get your hands on in the draft? I know that the top four guys that most people look at right now are David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and Antonio Brown. That's really, you know, the highest four. Not everybody's going to look at those players, but for you, if you got the number one pick, is it one of those guys? Is it somebody else? Who do you have your sights on?
Well, in one of the main leagues that I've played in for, I don't know, 6 or 8 years, it's been a while. It's a one keeper league, so we keep one guy every year.
Right.
And my keeper going into this year is going to be Antonio Brown. I think that he's a step above a lot of the other receivers. I don't know that I would say Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, I'd say they're all kind of on the same level.
I would agree with that.
I don't think that any of those guys have the same relationship with their quarterback that Antonio Brown does with Ben Roethlisberger. You saw what happened to Antonio Brown's stats when Roethlisberger wasn't playing.
Yep.
And they just dumped. Where when Roethlisberger's on the field, you know Brown can get 10 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a special receiver in a league full of special receivers. Like, he is unbelievable. And I'm going to roll with him in that league. Out of the running backs, I don't know that there's a safer bet than Ezekiel Elliott just because of that line that he runs behind. That line is going to keep him healthy and just make holes for him more than any other line in the league can. And so I obviously, in that league that I was talking about, someone else is going to keep his Ezekiel Elliott, so I won't have a chance to draft him, but I think he's got to be the number one running back going into the season.
Yeah, he's who I wanted to draft last year. I got, you know, quote unquote stuck with Adrian Peterson, and I thought that was a consolation prize. It turned out to be a disaster. I ended up, I don't remember who my first round running back was, or my first running back was after that. Definitely wasn't anybody worth mentioning. But in my other league, I ended up with, blanking on his name, Devontae Freeman out of Atlanta. And he did pretty well. I got him at the bottom of the first round. So I'm really hoping to get a high first round pick this year, because I really want one of those key running backs or a key receiver. Because last year I got kind of a mixed bag of both. And there's such a drop off after the top four or five at those positions that if you don't get your hands on a top five running back and a top five wide receiver in the first two rounds, I'm not sure you're going to do very much in fantasy football.
Yeah, but I'm also of the opinion I like drafting late, because let's say it's a 10-team league and I've got pick 9 and pick 12.
Right.
I love having two of the top 12 guys. And in all reality, somebody in that top 10 is going to reach for somebody later. And so realistically, if you pick at the end of the draft, end of the first round, you can have two top 10 guys on your team. Where if you pick at number one, you pick number one and you pick number 20. And I don't like that as much. So there's pros and cons to every pick, but like they say, you don't win or lose a fantasy football league in the first or second round. You win or lose a fantasy football league in rounds 5, 6, 7, 8. Those rounds where you're drafting your quarterback, those rounds where you're drafting the guys that are going to play every single week, that you might take a risk on a rookie or somebody that's going to break out. And so I love fantasy football, and I love when draft season comes around. That's my favorite part about playing fantasy football, is just the draft. I love mock drafts. I love putting together teams. And so I'm really looking forward to the next month, because August is when all that goes down.
Yeah, we should see if we can get a writers and fans group together and do like an 8 or 10 man league, and just, you know, just for bragging rights, no money involved, just see what people can do against each other. We'll be the amateur experts against the casual fans and see what they can do against us. Cause I love being in fantasy football leagues. I'm in too many as it is, but there's always room for one more.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we are way over time. We promised everybody 30 minutes or less, but we are at 39 minutes or less. So we're going to have to sign off. But Garrett, absolutely a pleasure having you on again. We're definitely going to need it again in the next couple weeks. Definitely need to get some more fantasy football stuff going on, because it's almost draft season already. And who knows, it's going to be football season right around the corner. So hope you're enjoying summer, because it's just not going to last as long as we want it to.
Yeah, but it's not a bad thing when football season's on the other side.
That's
so
true. That's a dream come true.
Just don't. I won't cry myself to sleep too much when football season comes here, just because the summer's gone. So summer happens every year. Football season does too. But this is the best time of the year when we're moving into the fall and football season.
Absolutely. Well, you have a great weekend, and we'll catch up again next week and definitely have you back on. Love chatting sports with you and love hearing your take on stuff. So thank you for being a part of the show. We appreciate
it. Sounds good. Anytime.
All right, well, this has been Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. You can catch us on Twitter at Fireside Radio OSN, and Garrett is at Portland Garrett. So check us out on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and definitely check out www.oregonsportsnews.com. And be sure to check out the band Liebecker. They provide music for the show. They're a great band from the Great Northwest. We love their sound. We love it if you love it too. So please go check them out. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Spotify. Follow them on iTunes. Anywhere you can get your hands on music, follow those guys. They're the ones to see. They're, again, at www.liebeckermusic.com. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next episode. Stay tuned and stay classy.